Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
G-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now is your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Willie and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app.
Time for Ask D-Mace as we start hour number two here on the program. Willie and D-Mace, Jake Lyman in for Willie Donick today, along with Derek Mason and Nick Frazier. Again, it's time for Ask D-Mace. Text or call 615-737-1025. If you have questions for Derek about football, life, if you have dad jokes, we've already got a couple of dad jokes here on the text line. We'll start with that here. Robert in Spring Hill says his favorite dad joke is, why are peppers so nosy?
Well, I see the answer.
Oh, you okay?
Yes.
Because they're jalapeno business.
Hey, that's a good one. I like that one, Robert.
That's a good one. I always love the dad jokes on these Fridays every time I tune in. So if you've got one, text or call again, 615-737-1025. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Here's a good question from Carson on our text line. I did not see this, but ESPN Plus, it looks like they have released position group rankings for all 32 NFL teams, and he has listed out the Titans ones. There's a couple here that I'm not so sure about. Mm-hmm. Running back is the one that stands out to me the most. They've got the Titans as the 21st best running back room in the league. That can't be right with Tajay Spears and Tony Pollard back
there. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out who could be what 20 other teams out there that would have a better backfield than what you see with the Tennessee Titans. Now, I can understand, you know, we really didn't see Tajay Spears run the ball last year. Well, obviously you didn't because Derrick Henry's in the backfield. But I think he did enough from a run and a pass catching standpoint to show you that he can be a player in the National Football League. And I think under this new Brian Callahan offense, I think he's going to be able to display just that. And then you got Pollard, who's coming off of back-to-back 1,000-yard. Well, he had 1,000 yards last year. The year before that, he was hurt. He was dealing with some injuries. But 2 years removed from an injury, you figure this guy will be much stronger than he was the year coming off the injury. And he was a damn good back splitting time with Ezekiel Elliott when Zeke was there at the time. Now he's since come back. But he's a damn good back as well. So I would love to know, like, what other teams. Now, I know there are some teams with better backs, but I'm saying 20 other teams with a better backfield tandem than this one.
I need to find this article because, again, Carson just listed all these out for us. Another one, the offensive line is ranked 9th, according to this text. I get it. Looking at the surface, you go across the board on this Titans offensive line. First round pick. Third highest paid center of all time. Second round pick, third round pick. That's your starting offensive line. So on paper, I could see why you would look at that if you're just looking surface level on where these guys came from. But I'm not sure the Titans have a top 10 offensive line in the league right now. Last one before we move on to our phone line. Interior defensive line, 20, with Jeffrey Simmons and Devondre Sweat in there.
And Harold, I guess they're just talking about the interior. They're not talking about the rushing.
Yeah.
Again, I'm trying to figure out where they, you know, 20th. I guess they can say, well, Danique Autry isn't there anymore. So only guy that you really know anything about that's a player is Jeffrey Simmons. The jury is still out on Devontae Sweat. I think he's going to be a good player, but he has to prove it in games. They got a bunch of guys rotating within that interior defensive line play. So you don't quite know who those guys are and what they can do and how they can elevate this defensive line. So I can understand them not being one of the tops. But again, to be 20th, show me at least five interior defensive linemen that would be better than what the Titans have. I mean, these guys are always on rotation. Yes, I know they're missing DeNico Autry, but I think adding Sweat into the mix, it may not get DeNico's sacks, but I think he will be able to elevate everybody else's game by what he can do in the interior as far as gobbling up two blockers.
And I just looked on ESPN. Those are the legit rankings looking through. They do have the Titans running backs 21st, the Titans offensive line 9th, and the Titans interior defensive lineman 20th.
Do they have any like side notes about it?
So they only have explanations for the top, the worst, and then one other team to watch in each position.
So who is the top team?
Let's see.
In that category.
In the interior defensive line,
yes.
Indianapolis with DeForest Buckner, Grover Stewart, and then Raekwon Davis, Taven Bryan. That's, I'm not sure how that's better than Jeffrey Simmons and
DeMondre. So are they they can't be counting because they have the edge, but then they got him 27 at the edge.
Yeah.
With Harold
linebackers
Landry,
dead last.
Linebackers dead last. Man, so they don't expect this Titan defense to be anything other than the guys on the outside, which they have the cornerbacks ranked 5th. And then this is what I understand. They got the safeties ranked 11th. And all these guys are dealing with some type of injury or have dealt with some type of injury other than Diggs. Anybody not named Diggs have dealt with an injury back there.
It seems like a lot of box score scouting was used for all of this. Like
It doesn't.
If you have listened to Nashville sports radio any time in the last 3 years, you know that the offensive line is
they're
a top 10 unit.
Yeah, they're not a top 10 unit. Again, how do you explain a team that was horrible, damn near dead last at that group the last two seasons, and then them changing personnel up front. Personnel we haven't seen in a regular season game.
Nope.
We haven't seen. They don't have any time on task. They haven't done anything special. We hope they are special, and I think they will be. I think this will be a much better offensive line than it was last year. But to say that this is the 9th best offensive line in the National Football League without these guys even playing a down, like a regular season down together? I'm not going with that.
No, I disagree with that wholeheartedly. Hopefully they can take a step forward.
Yes, I hope they become the 9th best.
I think even the best version of this Titans offensive line probably isn't a top 10 group yet.
Yes.
Maybe they can grow into it, but with a rookie left tackle, two question marks on the right side, I'm not sold on this being a top 10 team even by the end of the year on the offensive line. Carson, thank you for the text. A lot of good stuff there. I still can't believe some of those rankings from ESPN. On our phone line right now, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Eric wants to chime in with a dad joke and a question. Go ahead, Eric.
Okay, Derek Mason, yes. I hope you like this one. This is one I actually heard yesterday, so I didn't come up with this. I heard it from somebody else. How do mermaids clean their tails?
How do mermaids clean their tails? In the water?
No, with tide.
Okay, that was a good one.
That's
I like that
one,
Edward. Eric, I thought it was going to be the obvious water, but I guess it still is water, but tide.
Yeah. Okay, my question is, of course, I heard that Malik Willis is going to get the start. This is kind of a two-part. Now, is he planning to play the entire game, or are they going to bring in Mason Rudolph, or?
I would
Callahan
assume
didn't say whether he would play the whole game or not. I'm sure Mason will get some snaps.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure they're not going to play Will Levis.
No, Levis.
Yeah, they're not
going
to play Levis. He's got his playing time already. But you know what, Eric?
Yeah.
Because you don't want to put Mason Rudolph in with the third or fourth team. You just don't want a third offensive line. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, which no, makes right. me think Malik Willis will play the whole game.
Yeah, yeah. And on that, depending on his performance tomorrow, do you think, because I know last year they kept three quarterbacks, do you think if he plays good or bad, they could keep three quarterbacks, go with two, or if he is the odd man out, go with two and maybe bring somebody on the practice squad? How do you think all that's going to shake out? Because I'm pretty sure he's kind of under the gun since this is going to be his third year. Just want to get your thoughts on that. Guys, always good to talk to you. Y'all take care. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, Eric. Thank you for calling once again. Have a great weekend. In regards to Malik Willis, and whether he's going to be on the roster or not, I think if he continues to progress in his offense, they're giving him a huge opportunity. This is a huge opportunity that he has because – and he's earned this opportunity. This is what Brian Callahan said. He has earned this opportunity to be – the starter for this preseason game and allow him to play with the twos and see how he reacts from there. But if he shows any progress within his offense, which it seems like he is, I think they're going to keep him. I think they're going to keep him around to have that third quarterback spot. No one wants to be in a position, and we hopefully no other team ever gets in the position again, but no one wants to be in a position that the San Francisco 49ers were
in. I was about to say.
Yeah, that year in the playoffs where you're down to your running back or one of your wide receivers having to play quarterback.
Or Brock Purdy who can't throw the ball
exactly.
2 yards.
Exactly, and he has to be out there because he's the only, you know, quarterback you have that can you know, take a snap from underneath center. So I think – no matter what, they're going to cover. They're going to carry three quarterbacks because it doesn't count against their roster for game day. I'm not sure. I think that's how it is. It doesn't count against the roster on game day or your 53 or your 47 man roster
yes.
on game day.
He does not count as inactive. Like
yeah,
he's
exactly.
an inactive, but you get to keep that spot
open for him.
Open for him.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think they'd keep three quarterbacks regardless. But if Malik Willis shows progress, which it seems like he is showing, then he would be the guy they keep, you know, because, listen, you can allow him to continue to grow in your offense, whether, you know, he's on your 53-man roster, which he will be, I think, more than likely, or the hard part is trying to get him on your practice squad, because now if you put him on your practice squad, somebody can take him. Somebody can come and get him. They saw what he did in the preseason. They may think, okay, he's progressing as a quarterback. Put him on your practice squad. He's gone. So that's why I don't think the Titans are going to do that. He's progressing the way they want him to, I believe. And if that continues to happen, he's going to remain on the active roster.
And we're
going to
talk a little bit more about Malik Willis coming up in hour number three. But I agree with you. I think with the new rule from that 49ers game where you get to keep the three quarterbacks and doesn't take up an active roster spot, I think you kind of have to keep him. Willis has the talent. There's a reason that he was projected to go as high as third overall, basically on draft day 3 years ago. I remember seeing the day of the draft that there were reports the Lions might be looking to take him third overall. So there's a reason that he got that many looks to be a first-round quarterback. He's still developing. Maybe he doesn't end up ever being a quarterback for the Titans, but he's got enough talent that you put him out there, somebody's going to swoop in and pick him up.
Yeah, and that's what you don't want to happen. So, you know, you keep him, and you keep him on the active roster because, again, it's not, it doesn't count against you. And you just never know what happens. You may need him one day. And it's like I've always said, it's better to have and not need than need it and not have it. So,
correct.
You know, I think he will make the roster based upon what I've seen so far. Now, if he goes out there in this game and he looks like a deer in the headlights, then we may have to rethink that, or at least I may have to rethink that. But I'm hoping that that's not the case. He's going to be playing with guys that he's familiar with. That second unit, he's been practicing with them, so he's familiar with them. So I think he'll go out there, and they will cater or design the plays in the offense to what he can do best. And that's a coach's job. A coach's job is to see what a player does well and allow that player to do it. It was said, I think Bill Parcells said it, Bill Belichick, don't tell me what he can't do. Show me what he can do and
yeah.
do that. That's what, because if you show him what he can do, he's a player, then okay, that's going to help us. I'm not worried about what he can't do. Just show me what he can do, and if it works with what we're doing, then let's implement it.
And we saw that with Bill Belichick even last year, 2 years ago in New England with Malik Cunningham from Louisville. Kind of similar skill set to Malik Willis. Really good running the football. Still had some growing pains when it came to being an actual passer and quarterback, and he found a way to use him. And there were, I believe they had a package for him last year in the regular season where they brought him in, and hey, he can still throw the football, and that puts pressure on defenses when you have a guy with that much athletic ability who also can beat you through the air.
Exactly. So that's what they're trying to figure out with Malik Willis, how they can use him. But they'll get a really good look at him, you know, game time situation with guys that he's familiar with, going against possibly the Seattle Seahawks' number two defense. And you see how it goes. And if he plays well, or if he looks like he's picking up on everything, then okay, that's a good sign. But if he, again, if he looks as if he doesn't know what's going on, the game is moving too fast for him, he has these wide eyes, then yeah, we may have to bag him up a little bit.
And we'll talk more about Malik Willis as we preview tomorrow's preseason game coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Keep getting your questions in for D-Mace, 615-737-1025. You can text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Be sure to tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Durham. Pregame at 5:20, first pitch at 5:35. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9TheFan.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, Cottle Vet Clinic, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Keep getting those questions and dad jokes in for D-Mace. Ask D-Mace continues when we come back. Jay Kleiman in for Willie Donick today. Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jake Lyman in for Willie Donick today. Derek Mason, Nick Frazier. It's Ask D-Mace right now. Segment number two here. We've gotten some good questions, some good dad jokes out of Ask D-Mace so far. A couple on our text line that Derek and I were laughing about during the break. Randy, what do you call it when you take your dog to the vet for dental x-rays? Toothpicks. Toothpicks. Andrew from Dover, dad joke. What's the number one cause of dry skin? A towel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Derek said
Someone said that one some weeks ago. It might have been Eric.
It might have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, we might. Eric seems to be a regular when it comes to the dad jokes. Yes.
There was a guy that called in, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, D-Mace, asking about his refrigerator. And his date night.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was great.
Was the refrigerator sponsored by DeColdis to have a do at Crawford?
It should have been.
Exactly.
We've got George on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, with a dad joke. Go ahead, George.
Okay, guys. This fellow went to the psychiatrist. He's having trouble. He said, "Doc, I'm having some real trouble." He said, "One day I feel like a wigwam. The next day I feel like a teepee." And the doctor said, "Well, that's easy. You're just too tense."
That's a good one, George. Too tense.
Thank you, George. Appreciate
Thank you, George. Appreciate that.
Keep them coming in. You can call station 615-737-1025, or you can text in to our text line. Same number, 615-737-1025. Get in your dad jokes or your XD Mason jokes.
Yeah.
We have one from Andrew from Dover. Did we get to this one?
We did not.
Okay. Andrew for Dover. See, I'm getting old, man. I got to put on my glasses. It said, if you could go back in time and play any other position in your career, what would it be? Andrew from Dover. Oh, wow. If I could play any position, oh, man. I think it would be defensive line.
Really?
Yeah, I love to play in a defensive line.
Want to get in the trenches.
The trenches. Or even offensive lineman. One of the two. I just think their job is fascinating. I really do. I think, you know, five guys all have to be on the same accord. Everybody has to know what everybody else is doing, you know. And if one person mess up, man, oh, man, it's a disaster. If you block down and you're supposed to block out, it can be a disaster. But those guys, I look at the offensive line and the defensive line. They are tone setters for your team. You show me a team, show me the offensive line, and I can show you what am I thinking of? The sort of the attitude of the team.
Yeah,
is.
The outlook.
So you show me their offensive line, I show you the, you know, who they are as a team.
Yeah, the identity.
The identity of the team. Absolutely. And I've always thought that the offensive line and the defensive line set the tone for the team, period. You have a sort of finesse offensive line, not mean defensive line. Well, that's how your team's going to be. That's how your team's going to play. It's going to be a finesse style on offense, and you're going to be like the Dallas Cowboys on defense, getting pushed back and can't stop the run, couldn't stop a nosebleed, looking like a strainer out there. but if you have a nasty defensive line, i.e. San Fran, Baltimore Ravens, New England, they mean the Jets. If you look at their defense mirrors their offensive, I mean, their defense mirrors their defensive line. Nasty, physical. And that's what Denard Wilson wants here. A nasty, physical, aggressive defense. And that only happens is if your interior guys are playing at that level. If your interior guys are playing at that level, it feeds on everybody else. And if your offensive line is playing physical, then that feeds your team as well. You become a more physical team. Not to say you're going to run a ball 100 times, but everything you do has a sense of physicality to it. It's no, we're not finessing you ever. Even when we got a pass block, we're mauling you. That's why I love offensive linemen and defensive linemen. So if I can come back and play a position, I play offensive line, and they get paid a lot of money, so why not? If you're one of the best, yeah, you get paid a whole bunch
of
money.
That is true. It all starts in the trenches, mm-hmm. and we've seen it. Those interior defensive linemen and the guards, they're starting to get paid a lot more because of how important that guard-center-guard triangle and the push from the interior on the defensive side has become. I saw a video the other day, and I know it's not this simplistic, but I thought it was funny. It's like, offense in the huddle with their play call, and it's like so complex, like gun, snapdragon, Z streak, Y slant, all this stuff. And it's then it's the two defenders like, hey, what set are we in? Like, we're defensive line. We just go forward. Just go straight. So I feel like defensive line would be fun.
Yeah.
Just, hey, go get the quarterback.
You got to be mean, though. You got to be mean down there. You have a certain attitude to play. And I feel have that attitude. That's why I said I would love to, if I came back, I'd love to be an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman, because I feel my attitude is more so that, because it's more so when I'm on the field, it's an aggressive attack attitude. That's just how I was raised with my brothers playing football. They raised me to be aggressive. Don't take a step back. Continue to go forward. So, you know, I'd be a damn good offensive lineman or defensive lineman. So,
Andrew, half a man, D-Mace, half a man.
Thanks for the question, Andrew. That's a good one. Good one here from Coy in Clarksville. Derek, I don't know if I love the revisionist history here, but if Steve McNair threw to you instead of Kevin Dyson on the last play of the Super Bowl, do you think you would have broken the tackle? That
man. Listen. Okay, I answer that question two ways. Okay, I'm gonna answer it the way my honest answer, and then I'm gonna give you an answer that is okay. Everybody think this is what everybody would think.
Yes,
what everybody would think is me, you, Nick. Oh, if I caught it, I would have scored.
Yep,
that would have been I would have scored. We'd have won. We'd have at least sent it into overtime, because that touchdown, what people don't understand, that touchdown and subsequent extra point doesn't win us the game.
No.
It only ties the game. And then we have an opportunity to go into overtime. But if we go for 2 points, obviously we win the game. But I'm not sure Fish, had we scored, Fish would have won for two. Because we had the momentum anyway. So he probably would have taken it overtime and expected us to continue to do what we were doing.
Going for two to win the Super Bowl would have been
gutsy.
That would have been a heck of a Dan Campbell-like move right there.
Would you have gone for two, D-Mace?
In that situation, no, because I would have figured these guys worked so hard to get down the field to even tie the game. I'm not going to lose the game on that one play. We got the momentum. I'm taking it into overtime. And I'm looking at my defense to do what they have been doing in the second half, or stop a high-powered offense.
We've seen it before. I mean, Mike Vrabel in London a few years ago went for two against the Chargers. It didn't work out, but there are plenty of other times when you have the momentum, you think, we just need one play. Mm-hmm. One play and we win the game, and it does work out. So,
Then the second half of that, well, my second question to that is, I tell people this all the time, that wasn't my play.
Yeah.
That play and those plays were meant for that particular person. And that person was Kevin Dyson. That play was designed for him. It had already been written and everything else. Whatever went on, that play was already written. It was already designed. It was for him. And I'm not talking about written, meaning the coaches did it. It was already in place.
Yes.
That was supposed to be his play. Just like the Music City Miracle. That was supposed to be Kevin's play.
Yep.
However it ended up being his play,
that's how it was meant to
that's
be.
That's how it was meant to be. We were meant to win that game by Kevin Dyson returning a kickoff for a touchdown to advance us in the playoffs. It was for Kevin to catch that pass in the playoff, meaning the Super Bowl, and for Mike Jones to tackle him.
Yep.
So that play was for Kevin. It wasn't for me. Now, on the other side, I was open. I can say that. I was open running I think I was running a slant or like an inside glance because Chris Sanders on the outside of me, I think he had a slant as well. So Chris and I both say we were open. So we can say that, but that play was meant for Kevin.
I think you're right, though. Everybody would say, oh, I would have scored on that. I mean, I was 2 months old at that point. I would have scored. I would have crawled into the end zone. That's a good question. A little throwback all the way back there to get some reminiscing going on here. We've got a couple more dad jokes on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 5890 says, have you heard about the king who was 12 inches tall? He was a terrible king, but a great ruler.
Okay, I like that one. I like that one.
Let's see.
That one didn't go over my head right there. There have been some, Jake, that have went totally over our heads.
Oh, I'm
like,
sure.
We looking like, oh, what did you say? And then it's like, okay, you got it. Yeah,
you've got to. Some of these are thinkers.
Yes.
It takes a second for it to actually set in. Like, let's see from Ron here. No, we're not going to say that one.
Yeah, we can't. We can't say that one.
Let's see.
Ben?
No. This is a good one here from 5136. This morning, my wife asked if I had seen the dog bowl. I told her that I didn't know he could. The delivery was bad on that one. Let me try that again.
Okay.
This morning, my wife asked if I had seen the dog bowl. I told her that I didn't know he could. So dog bowl. There we go.
That was better.
That was
the second. The second time you said it was a little bit better.
It's all about delivery.
The emphasis. The emphasis was on the wrong syllable at that point. So yes, that was a good one.
Okay, here's one. No, but they didn't give an answer. Like,
yeah, Robert.
Why do you? Okay, here it is. Why do you knock before opening the refrigerator? That's a good one. The salad might be dressing.
That's why you got to knock.
Thank you, Robert. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it.
We got
D-Mace, I thought you were going to say it and just not say the actual punchline
joke. That's what I was waiting on, the punchline.
We're all just waiting. What are you going to say here, D-Mace?
Oh, man.
Man, we're getting a ton in here. Adam in Portland, what does the moon do when his hair gets long? Eclipse it.
Okay.
That's good.
I wouldn't put that in my top 50, but yeah, it was a good one.
It's a good one. It's a good one. There's a high bar for dad jokes on this program.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Because they, you know, people bring it.
What did the zero say to the eight? This is more of a visual one. You might have to see it.
What did the zero say to the eight?
Nice belt. thinking of the zero and the eight, it's got a little belt around it. It actually looks pretty funny on the text line because I guess the font makes it look like the eight's wearing a belt. So thank you for all of the dad jokes. Keep sending these in. We're wrapping up Ask D-Mace here. I got one question for D-Mace before we get to a break. We've seen all of the stuff with Will Levis this week about his cologne and the mayonnaise and all that stuff. My question for you, Derek, is if you could promote one product, if you got... I guess it wouldn't be an NIL deal, but you got a marketing deal for a certain product. What would it be? What would you want to promote out there?
Oh, man. What would I want to promote? God, Gosh, that's a hard one.
Like a cologne or
I love cologne. I am a fragrance guy. So I guess it would be cologne. I don't know. Probably boxer briefs.
That'd be good.
Boxer briefs.
Get Derek Mason the underwear model.
Yeah, boxer briefs. I can go with the boxer briefs.
That would be great.
Get him in like one of the Hanes or the Fruit of the Loom commercials.
Hell no, not Fruit of the Loom, man. I'm talking about the good kind, man. The good time.
The silk.
The boxer brief kind, the good ones, man. Yeah. I'm not talking about the – even though, hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with – old school Fruit of the Looms. I mean, tidy whities. Ain't nothing wrong with those. I mean, I get it. But no, I was talking about.
Like going to play water polo.
And I'm not talking Speedos either. I'm not a Speedo person. But yeah, give me some boxer briefs. I'm good with those.
There we
go.
Coming soon to your television, Derek Mason for Hanes.
I could do that.
It's like Michael Jordan used to do the Hanes commercials.
I do either Hanes or what is it? Good Life, the brand Good Life. I think it's Good Life. I think that's what it is. Yeah, Good Life.
I think you're right.
Because they have the undershirts as well. So I can't. I don't. Okay. A quick question here, and I don't. I'm not going to say. And we keep on getting texts.
I know the text line busy right now.
Yeah, it's coming in. Like, man, they're coming in great. Let me see. I want to see what this one is. I don't know if this is a joke or if it's just because of it's just piggybacking on Connor Stallions getting a job at Michigan State. I mean, at Mumford High School, my alma mater.
It's a little bit of both.
Exactly. So it says, why couldn't Connor Stallions get any other jobs? Because he didn't have the right horse in the race.
And now Stallions is coaching for the Mustangs.
I like that one. That's a good one. It goes right into the Mustang.
I love it.
And that's original.
I love
that one. For sure.
Yes.
That one, 3512 came up with that one himself. That's a good one.
Oh, man.
We can't get to all of them. Let me see if I can find one more before we go to break.
Let me see.
Let's see. Oh, okay. Let's wrap up with this one. Nick and Franklin says, did you ever read the book about defying gravity? I couldn't put it down.
I promise that was not me.
That was that you, Nick?
No, I don't live in Franklin.
You ain't got to live in Franklin. You just probably with Franklin down there.
Nick's just sending in texts, just like Big Joe.
Never sent in a text to the text line.
Thank you to everyone who sent in questions for D-Mace or dad jokes. We just had a lot of fun the last 40 minutes. We're going to move on, though. But if you have questions for D-Mace, we'll take them throughout the rest of the show.
Absolutely.
Text or call. 615-737-1025. Do want to let you know Nashville's best deal of the week is Soar Adventure Tower, where there's adventure for everyone of all ages. Get a $100 gift card for just $50 and book family fun, your next office outing or birthday party. Soar Adventure Tower is four levels of fun with easy to difficult obstacles to choose from. Plus, there's an 18-hole mini golf course. Get your $100 gift card for just $50 right now at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. When we come back, I've got some questions for Derek and Nick on the roster construction for the Titans. We're going to do a little this or that with some players on the Titans to wrap up hour number two. Jake Lyman in for Willie Donick. Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Some receivers out. How do you think some of the guys behind them did?
From my first feeling of it, pretty good. I think we had some good work. Those guys did some good things. I'll have to watch it more to see if we were on our details, depths and technique and all that stuff. But for the most part, felt pretty good about how those guys performed.
Brian Callahan talking about some of the other wide receivers getting some run with no DeAndre Hopkins, no Tyler Boyd at those joint practices with Seattle this week. And it looks like there's going to be a pretty big battle for those last one or two wide receiver spots. Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Jake Lyman in for Willie Donick today. Thanks for everybody's participation during Ask D-Mace. Some really good dad jokes, some great questions. Really good ones and a lot of laughs over the last 45 minutes here in studio. But I want to give some roster battle questions here. We're about 2-3 weeks away from cutting it down to 53. And there are some positions where there's a lot to be sorted out. Wide receiver is one of them. So I'm going to give Derek, you and Nick, a couple of prompts here of just a few guys, and you guys got to pick who you're taking to make the roster as of right now. So let's start with those wide receivers. Mm-hmm. You look at the roster, it looks like D-Hop, Ridley, Boyd, Burks, NWI. I would say those five are locks.
Yes.
Team could keep six, could keep seven. I would say the next three who are in contention for that, Kyle Phillips, Jaquan Jackson, Mason Kinsey. Big week for Jaquan Jackson. Mason Kinsey's looked good. Kyle Phillips has had his moments, but I believe he got a little banged up this week. Mm-hmm. Who's staying? And we're going to say you can only pick one as of right now. We're keeping six instead of seven. Kyle Phillips, Jaquan Jackson, Mason Kinsey, or go off the board if there's another guy that you think could take that last receiver spot.
Well, first, I'm going to say this. Kyle Phillips, you can X him out. I think he's had his opportunities.
Yeah.
He gets injured too much. They can't count on him. Did he show flashes his rookie year? Yes, he did. I thought this was going to be a player for this team in some facet of role, but you know, he could never just stay on the field. And then when he was on the field, he wasn't as productive or productive at all. You know, he's most known for dropping punts and fumbling punts than anything else. I think he had one really good catch the first game of the season. He had an awesome game first game of the season his rookie year. But then after that, you didn't hear from him anymore other than, you know, dropping punts. And then they had to, you know, take him off the punt return duties. So I'm going to X Kyle Phillips out. Colton Dow, he's hurt, so he's out. Not that he's out on the roster, but I still think he's on the roster, but he's not going to be counted in, you know, the wide receivers that they keep. To me, it's up to three guys, Jaquan Jackson, Kyrus Jackson, and Mason Kinsey, I think. Out of those three, who's had the best camp so far? Mason Kinsey has had the best camp so far. But what works against Mason Kinsey is that he's been doing this for the last 2 years, going on three now. They know exactly what he is. I think he's a hell of a player. But does he do enough to beat out a Jaquan Jackson, who looks as if he can be a punt returner slash kick returner? Then Kyrus Jackson, he can double as a kick returner as well. So if I'm looking at this and I had to pick one guy to go with, you know, the top five, I think it would be Jaquan Jackson because he's a rookie, because he has something that I think they need, the speed and the quickness, and he can double as your punt returner slash kickoff returner. So if you're asking me, which you are, I think I'm keeping Jaquan Jackson. Now, it doesn't mean that they can't keep seven. But
yes,
if you're talking
sure.
six, then I'm looking more so at the rookie than, you know, Kyrus Jackson was here last year. Mason Kinsey was here the last two seasons. I'm looking at a guy like Jaquan Jackson and thinking he would get that final roster spot at the wide receiver position before they would.
The more recent investment, the sixth-round pick into Jaquan Jackson. You on the same page, Frazier?
Yeah, it's like a 6A and 6B thing. 6A, Jaquan Jackson, and then 6B to Mason Kinsey. Because, like, D-Mace alluded to it already with Kyrus Jackson and Jaquan Jackson. They both have that returnability factor in the kick return game. But, you know, you don't want to keep two kick returners. So if you want to go along with those lines, then you have a guy like Mason Kinsey as your 6B, in quotes, because he knows the offense. He knows the ins and outs, the chemistry of aspects of all this. He's a utility guy. He's a utility guy at wide receiver, utility guy in the return game if you need him. Like that's a guy you want to just keep on a floater. As for Jaquan Jackson, like D-Mace was saying, rookie guy, a lot of upside. Definitely can go with him for that.
And Kinsey probably ends up on the practice squad. But one guy I will mention, and I heard Jared and TD talking about this yesterday, David Martin Robinson has had a really sneaky good camp, and apparently the coaching staff loves him. I think they'll probably try and sneak him to the practice squad. But Jared, in both of his two 53-man roster projections, had him making the roster. Obviously, take that as you will. Jared's not making the decisions, but maybe a guy who is a surprise addition onto the 53-man roster when they make the cutdowns.
I mean, if you look, it would be very hard. He's fighting an uphill battle.
Oh, for sure.
A tremendous uphill battle because he has to fight through guys that have been here already, guys that are showing, you know, that they can play in guys that I'm guy that I'm talking about is Mason Kinsey.
Yep.
And then you got to surpass Jaquan Jackson, who they drafted, and he's looking good. Kyrus Jackson is looking good from a special team standpoint, and he's had some good practices as well. So it's going to be hard for him. Now, they can cut him and put him on a practice squad and, you know, do that and allow him to, you know, sort of mature into the player he's going to be. But as far as making the opening day roster, it's going to be – unless he just wows everybody.
In these last two preseason
unless
games.
Unless he pulls a what's the kid from the Giants time ago.
Victor Cruz?
Yeah, Victor Cruz. Victor Cruz was a – I think he was an undrafted or he was a late-round draft pick. And I remember we played the Giants in a preseason game his rookie year. And he balled out, but it was like, okay, who is this guy? Like, he's a player, but who is he? And he turned out to be a hell of a receiver for the New York Giants. One of the best on their, you know, one of the best receivers they've had in a very long time.
Yeah.
At that position. So he could turn out to be, you know, like that Victor Cruz type of player. But, I mean, he's just fighting an uphill battle.
That I think it was the Jets Hard Knocks when Rex Ryan was there. There's a good clip of, I think Victor Cruz was wearing zero or something, and Rex Ryan's just like, I don't know who zero is, but he's kicking our butts right now. Like, he had like two or three touchdowns in a preseason game. So, maybe we see with no starters playing tomorrow, mm-hmm. we don't really know what the plan is for the Saints game to wrap up the regular or the preseason. Maybe we see one of those undrafted free agent wide receivers make a big step. Before we get to a break, let's do one more. We'll go to running back here. Julius Chestnut, another one of those cockroach guys like Mason Kinsey who mm-hmm. seem to always find their way back around the roster bubble versus Hassan Haskins, who missed all of last season but trying to fight back for this third running back spot. Who would you take right now, Haskins or Chestnut, behind Pollard and Spears?
I'm taking both of them.
I keep four.
Because both of them are good on special teams. Two seasons ago, Hassan Haskins was frankly the best special teams player outside of the place kicker at the time. He was their best special teams player. Then obviously he has his off the field stuff. Then I think he was dealing with injuries last season, so he didn't play at all last year. And now he's sort of getting himself back into it. He looks thinner. He looks stronger. He's running through between the tackles a lot harder than he did his first year. I think this is his third year, right? This is Hassan Haskins.
Yes,
this is his third year. 2022 he was drafted in fourth round 2022. So it's going on his third season. So to me, Hassan Haskins brings that special teams component, and he brings that physicality that you need to run inside tackles. But then you look at Chestnut. I was about to say Morris Chestnut, but Chestnut. You look at Chestnut, and his game is similar to Haskins. Big physical guys that can also play special teams. So if I'm the Titans, I'm keeping both of them because both of these guys are good special teams players, and you need good special teams players on your team. So I couldn't pick between one or the other. I'm picking both of them, but the odds of both of them making it, it's probably, I would say it's more likely that they keep the seventh wide receiver than it is they keep the fourth running back. Now, the numbers may be close, but if one of these other guys can double as, you know, a gunner or something like that, then maybe we don't need a Chestnut back there as one of our special teams guys, because one of these guys may double as a returner and also as one of the gunners as well.
And maybe that is the debate. Do you keep a seventh wide receiver? Do you keep a fourth running back? And special teams, you mm-hmm. would think, would be one of the main determining factors in that decision.
Yeah, you defer to the special teams coach then. Like,
Cole
okay,
Anderson.
We want this guy. We want this guy. Who do you want? Cole, it's like, okay, which one of these guys do you feel will be better for your special teams? that's typically how it goes when you're talking about that last final spot at a position. It's like, okay, which one of these guys are better for your special teams? Because that's what he essentially, that's what he's going to be, a special needs player. He's never going to really play as a running back or a seventh receiver.
Correct.
He's either going to be inactive or playing on special teams. So yep. Which one of these guys do you think you can use on special teams more times than not?
And so. Colt Anderson made a good impression on Titans fans Saturday night with those two big returns against the 49ers. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to weigh in, you can text or call. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, we're going to talk some Malik Willis to start hour number three. Getting the start, who knows how long he'll play tomorrow night, but we're going to see a lot of Malik Willis tomorrow. What do we hope to see, and what could the plan be for Malik Willis going forward? That's up next. Jake Lyman in for Willie Donick. Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.